16th pole. It is Brass Hat, and he's getting away from Fairbanks Lane. And Brass Hat and Willie Martinez have won the MASCAP.
Down to the 16th pole, Judy the Beauty, Dance Card on the outside, running after Rupee Doll Dixon for all she has, and she has enough to win it. Rupee Doll did it again.
And here comes Divisadero flying down the crown of the course. Beat Patrol trying to dig down. Divisadero rallying from behind, but Beat Patrol has something left for the final 16th. Divisadero surges up alongside and surges to win it. Divisadero.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. A little trip down memory lane for my next guest, the 57-year-old conditioner, Buff Bradley, who will call it a career at the end of the Churchill spring meeting. Those three horses, Brass Hat, Groupie Doll, Divisadero, I guess you could throw the player in there too, horses that meant so much to Buff, to his career, to his family, and it is a career that I know he will miss, but looking forward to the next chapter in the life and the career of Buff Bradley. He's with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and he is, by the way, our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris on this Saturday morning. Buff, congratulations on that honor, and congratulations on a remarkable career.
Hey, thank you, Mike. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, happy to be able to visit with you and kind of walk back through some of the fondest memories that you have. This could not have been an easy decision for you, though, my friend.
No, it's something I've been thinking about for a while, and it wasn't a very easy decision to make, and then it wasn't easy to really follow through with, you know, having to tell all of my clients and my employees. But, you know, I feel like that they've all been on board and understand my reasons and have backed me 100%.
You know, you started doing this, training horses in 1993, so it's been a while. What are you going to do from here?
You know, that's still up in the air. I have to do something because I think I've got enough money to run me for about 3 hours after I quit this. But, I want to do something within the thoroughbred industry, I hope. And I hope to maybe get a job with a racetrack. You know, I feel like that I do know a large majority of the people on the backside and understand the everyday issues that they may have. So that, you know, and I do understand a bit of the front side. You know, I've been on a lot of committees and have I've been in some meetings, quite a few meetings, with talks with upper management. So I feel like that, you know, I can see both sides of things and feel that I can be very fair about it in judging what goes on. So, you know, I've put it out there to Churchill, Ellis, and Keeneland that, you know, that I'm interested, and if they have an opening at some point in the near future, that I would like to apply. And so they've been receptive. I've talked to some pretty good people, so we'll see what happens now.
Well, it's a pretty good resume that you put together when you think about your experience being around the game, breeding horses, raising horses, training horses. You come from a family business, a family philosophy, and you trained 575 winners in your career so far, Buff, and multiple greatest stakes winners. And we just heard that little montage of Brass Hat, Groupie Doll, and Divisadero. Three horses that I know when you look back on everything you've accomplished, they're going to hold a special place in your heart.
Oh, definitely will. I mean, they, you know, Brass Hat, you know, being the first, was very special for my father and I, you know, and that we got to travel around a lot with him, and we really enjoyed it. There wasn't a lot of pressures. It was just a lot of fun. And, you know, and I think that got us to Groupie Doll. We probably wouldn't have had Groupie Doll had we not had Brass Hat to kind of carry us forward. So I always look at it. Everybody say, what's your favorite? I can't say there's ever a favorite. I can tell you, you know, I've enjoyed all of them. Enjoyed all the trips that Brass Hat took us on. And same for Groupie Doll. I mean, she was as you know, very special in a lot. And I can say the last 10 years of my father's life on this earth that he enjoyed it immensely because he did a lot of other things, but the horses was always his number one thing to do and to watch and to follow.
You know, I can remember, talking about Groupie Doll, I can remember, Buff, when she sold at Keeneland, and I had the privilege to be there with you and your family, and there wasn't a dry eye in the place when you had to say goodbye to her. The horses, they truly become like a part of your family, don't they?
Oh, absolutely, and I've got several on my farm that are still family. You know, they're, you know, Brass Hat is at the farm and he'll remain there. I'm selling a large portion of the farm, but am going to keep enough for the retired horses and a few of my own. And he'll live out his days there for sure. As goes for the player, I'm hoping he'll get to stay there too, as long as we got enough room there for him. With him being a stallion and everything, it's tougher to keep those in a smaller area. But he's one of my favorites of all time too. You know, he's been a very special horse.
What makes the player so special?
I got attached to him early on, and he just had such a unique personality, and I think it's probably his personality and how I was able to put that out there to the public and post things on him through social media that really it got a lot of people interested in following him, and I think that was pretty neat. And so I got, you know, I looked for things that, you know, that he did that were unique that people outside the racing world would even like. So it was fun to do that, and it still is fun to do that. I mean, I post pictures all the time on his Facebook page of him doing his silly little things. And he just, from day one, he was always a little bit quirky, I guess you could say, but just a personality. But, I mean, as far as a racehorse, he was a super nice, super nice horse, and just had tons of ability and I think was just coming into his own when he was injured.
People ask you about your favorites, that there's really no way you could choose. It's not Brass Hat over Groupie Doll or Groupie Doll over Divisadero or the player. It doesn't work like that. They're all very special, and they're all very special for different reasons. When you think back on your career, Buff, what are some of the memories that are always going to stand out to you first and foremost?
Well, I could say on just speaking of those four horses, you know, it's just like they all were different in what they did. You know, Groupie Doll was a sprinter, so yeah. And I'd say probably my favorite race out of her was the Humana Distaff when she broke and still has the track record for 7/8 in 120.44. I think that was just a special day. And I mean, you know, Rajiv Mirage was gearing her down when she did that, and that was one of that race there my father was at, and I think he really enjoyed that race, so it made it a little bit more special for me. Brass Hat, I can't tell you how many. I mean, every one of his races were just unique. You know, he went long on the dirt, but and probably the day that he broke the track record at Churchill, going a mile in the 16th and being off a year in an allowance race was that was really rewarding for him to come back and do what he did. And then Divisadero, you know, he won three times on Derby Day, and that was just like every time you just would go wow, because he loved Churchill Downs and he loved just rolling down the lane. And I think he loved doing it for a crowd too, and love that horse as well. And I've got, you know, had a, I was lucky enough to have a season to him, and we just pulled a filly out of him by him the other night.
Oh, wow. Wow, really special. The beat goes on, right? The next generation.
Right, the next generation, and same as the player. You know, he was, always loved to see him run, but, you know, now we're getting his babies on the ground, and I mean, they're just like him, just very unique, and tons of personality, and you know, I feel like that goes over into the racing part of it too. You know, when they're smart enough to be a racehorse.
You know, I'm going to tell you, Buff, I'll shoot you straight. We've known each other for a long time, and when I asked you about your fondest memories in your career, I'm a little disappointed that being an analyst on our Kentucky Derby broadcast with us didn't make the list.
Well, I was just talking about horses. I was getting to that.
That year was so much fun. I can remember you sitting up there with Kurt and I, and it was a lot of fun to have you as part of the team that year. And, you know, who knows, maybe now that you're getting a little more time on your hands, maybe we'll do it again.
No, that's always fun, especially talking with you and Kurt. You know, you both are more knowledgeable than I am on that side of it, but it was a fun day. It really was. To sit up there and watch, and that's the only time that I've watched the races on Derby Day from the front side, except when I had a horse running.
Yeah, you're usually positioned out in the barn area somewhere, right?
Right.
Yeah. Talking with Buff Bradley, who will wrap up his training career at the end of the Churchill spring meet, what's the actual date, Buff, that you're going to make the move?
I guess July 1st. You know, they close, and I kind of picked at the end of Churchill. You know, this was my home track. This was the first place I had a winner in 93. And, you know, I know that Churchill was going to close for training even in the summer months as they're installing a new turf course. So everybody was going to have to move one way or the other. It wasn't like I'm going to have to jostle around and move horses around for people. I mean, it's going to happen anyhow. Same for my help. They were going to have to move anyhow. So I feel like that was going to be a good time to just kind of start dispersing and getting rid of horses.
What do you think you're going to miss most about training horses, Buff?
I don't know. I don't even think I'll be able to sleep in. You know, I get up every morning and enjoy going to the track and seeing the horses. And, you know, walk around the barn, feeding them treats, looking at them, watching them. I think, you know, the excitement is usually with the young horses coming along. But I enjoy keeping the older horses around, too. So it's, you know, I don't know exactly what's going to get me the most. I'm sure it's going to be hard for me. It will be, but that's what it is. I'm happy with my decision to do this at this time, and I'm not gonna, I mean really, I hope I could sleep in a little bit, but I don't have to sleep late, but I'd like to get a couple more hours in the morning.
I can tell you, Buff, there are horse trainers and there are horsemen, and you are both. You're a horseman first, you're a horse trainer second, in my opinion anyways. You do them both extremely well, and you're going to be missed on the training side of things, but it's great to hear that you're looking to stay involved in the sport in some capacity. I know that's going to be music to the ears of so many people that are fans of yours, myself included. And I can tell you this, you are forever entrenched in the history of HRN, because not only did you and I meet before I even started on radio when I was working with Barb Borden in Horse ID at Keeneland back in the early 2000s, but when I started the network, our first broadcast live from Gulfstream Park, which barely got on the air that year, by the way, but we made it, was Brass Hat winning the Don Handicap in 2006. And I'll never forget, it was a nasty, rainy day, muddy track. Willie Martinez came back to our broadcast position, which was tucked away in a little room somewhere. We couldn't even see the races. And he came in, and he spent about 30 minutes with us after the race, covered in mud, talking about that trip with Brass Hat. And it launched the network. It was the start of everything for us. And it was all because of a horse that you trained down at Gulfstream Park.
No, that was pretty cool. And I didn't even know it rained that day.
he was covered.
That was our special day, a grade one winner. And, that track was a mess. And I thought, he just went by those. When he took off at the 3/8 pole, I was like, wow. And just drew away. That was a heck of a good race.
Certainly was. There were many of those and many great memories. And Buff, listen, I appreciate the visit here this morning, my friend. Really glad you took the time to do it. And can't wait to see what the future holds for Buff Bradley. And hopefully we'll get a chance to spend more time together on the radio.
Yeah, and thank you much. I'm just stepping away from training. I'll be around. People are going to see me, and I hope they see me a lot more.
Fantastic. Buff Bradley here on HRN. Buff, appreciate it, buddy. All the best.
Thank you, Mike.